Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, happy George Washington Day. This is Chuck Bonnierwell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Well, some developments. You keep thinking that the COP, the Colorado GOP party chair, Britta Horn, could not get any worse. And then she does.
And then she does.
So we've been talking a lot about how the state central committee members, some 500 of them, voted back in September to fire Steve Klenda, her personal attorney, who she hired to be the party attorney, who was racked up roughly $200,000 in legal bills and unnecessary and vindictive lawfare against the grassroots, and continues to do so. When we hold votes as a state central party, she refuses to acknowledge them. We held a vote to fire Klenda. She refused to acknowledge that. We held another vote, filed a petition for her to hold a special meeting regarding it. She refused to do that. Ray Garcia, we've had him on, then filed yet another lawsuit, served her with it, saying, hey, look, you have to follow your own bylaws and hold this meeting. And she was like, no, I don't. And Britta Horn. And her vice chair has resigned in disgust.
Twice.
Her secretary, Russ Andrews, who initially didn't validate the petitions for the special meeting, turned around and said, no, they're good. So a special meeting was set and has been set for upcoming Saturday. And Britta Horn was like first sending out all kinds of emails saying, it doesn't count. I don't care that no one likes me. I'm the chair and I get to do whatever I want. It's my world. Then she, over the weekend, decided that, no, we could have a special meeting.
Yes.
So on the surface, that's good news, right? It's like, yay, right? Because we talked about have a special meeting. There's going to be a vote of no confidence, a vote to fire Klenda. That's basically it. And let the chips fall where they may. It's hard as it is to believe, Britta Horn has some supporters. I'm not sure who they are. It may be Klenda. Obviously, who's making a lot of money off of her. But hold the meeting. And if she wins and gets to keep Klenda and people have confidence in her, okay, then at least we move on, right? And then we go from there. So she finally said, okay, you can have a special meeting, but you just can't have it on the day you set, right?
When I want to do it.
We're going to do it when I want to do it, which is the day before most of the counties, including Adams County, are holding caucuses, which is the single most important thing that the county Republican Party offices do, right? Yeah. It's to hold the caucus. So what does Britta do? Rather than hold the meeting, it's been set up. They've got consultants and everybody hired to run the meeting. Everything is
set up. Committee, everything. You got a lot of things you got to do.
They have 400 people in their Zoom meeting, right? All of that set up. And Britta's like, nope, we're going to do it on March 2nd, right before all the caucuses. So Russ Andrews puts out an email saying, hey, look, you know, good. I'm glad you agreed that we can hold the meeting. But really, he said, why put it off? It's been put off too long already. And he says, further postponement would only extend an issue that has already drawn unnecessary, and he goes on to say, negative attention. Let's just get this settled. Rescheduling the meeting to a later date, particularly to the Monday evening during the week of caucus, would also place additional and unnecessary strain on our county parties at a time when they're already focused on the caucus preparation and execution.
Yeah.
Let's just have it Saturday, and then we don't have any of that going on. Britta said nope. And then what was her reaction? What did she do to Russ Andrews, Chuck?
Well, apparently she cut all access to all emails and records concerning the State Central Committee. He's in charge of the clerical portion. He's by the bylaws. That's her duties. And she doesn't care. No. I'll cut off the secretary from the records that he's entitled to.
The Zoom meeting, I mean, that's what she's trying to do, right? She's trying to stop him from sending out any email. I mean, and she can't, right? I mean, she may not like Russ. He clearly doesn't like her. But hey,
he was
independently elected by the Colorado Republicans to be the secretary. We haven't always liked him too, but you know, you can't just say, you can't just when you're Brit up, well, you can, because she did. Once again, she just like phew, cut off all his access. So he's the Secret House. He can't do his job now, right? And she doesn't care. And so it's just, once again, rather than actually resolving things, to doing anything that to unify anybody, she's mucked it up again. You know, again, as Russ Andrews pointed out, the one thing she has done is unify Colorado Republicans, rhinos, grassroots, establishment, you name it, in their thorough disgust at the party chair.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Even, you know, the four congressional reps, granted, we're no fans of Gabe Evans, Jeff Hurd. But on the other hand, we all agree on this, that Britta should get out of there. So we'll see what happens. My guess is, here's what I think is going to happen. We'll hold our meeting.
The world will explode.
Well, it's going to be a mess. I mean, that, which is her goal. So we'll have our meeting Saturday. My guess is there'll be a vote of no confidence. There'll be a vote to fire Clenda. Britta will ignore it and say it doesn't count. She'll hold her meeting, another meeting next Saturday. They're all on that month, the following Monday right before caucus, which we'll all have to go to again to vote.
Right.
And who knows? But I think whatever the result is, I have a feeling she's going to ignore that too, right? And so it's a extremely frustrating situation. But to go back to what Ray Garcia said, I think in a way, this is what the powers that be in the Republican Party in Colorado, and by that I mean the rich donors, this is what they want. They want a totally messed up party. Then they swoop in and say, see, we don't need primaries, a Republican primary. Right. Yeah. You voters are all messed up anyway. So we're just going to select and fund top candidates to be on a one jungle primary, and you'll vote for them, and you'll all be screwed.
I don't have any idea. And the Democrats will hold the top two spots, and we can not even have to worry about Republicans.
Yeah, and so it's like, you know, how can you have, the Republican Party needs to be saved, right? And here you have the chair doing everything in her power for nothing other than pettiness and vindictiveness. I mean, once she's agreed, and I'm assuming she agreed to hold the meeting because Clenda, her attorney, is like, look, Britta, it's clear to me, I'm not going to get paid. So I'm not doing any more lawsuits. Plus, as we told you on last week, he's under investigation for alleged ethical violations by the Colorado Supreme Court Office of Attorney Regulation. That's not good. So I don't know. Just when you think it couldn't get messier. And I think all of it is, it's her effort to basically say, however we vote, it doesn't count. Right.
Yes. Could you be any more petty? Could you be any more? I mean, Colorado has had some really bad party chairs going back, you know, back to the 20th century. You know, they were locking each other out. But now she's exceeded everyone by some huge margin. I mean, it is insane. It is insane. So,
well, and she gives you no option, right? When you can do what you can vote whatever you want, right? And then she just ignores it. So it's and the courts and. You know, the courts, in a way, courts being courts, and particularly the Democrat-controlled courts, are not going to do anything, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, which again, go back to, that's what the Phil Anschutzes, the John Caldera, well, John Caldera is an independent anyway. I mean, that's what they want. They want a party in complete disarray. So that's the latest on that.
Take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. Here, can you talk? I have to...
Look at what Rev's
golf swing. Yeah, no, my son is texting me.
Son is texting me. All right, what are we going to do? Ken Buck.
Oh, yeah.
Many of you have all wondered, whatever happened to Ken Buck? I mean, he was kind of a hero to people. And for a while, you know, he wrote something about the swamp in Washington. And he was going to be Mr. Conservative. And then all of a sudden, you know, just before sometime, he just became a total rhino. I mean, He trashed all the poor prisoners in the prisons on January 6th.
The January 6th people.
Yeah, I mean, he came out against everything that the grassroots believe in and decent Americans believed in. And then he went away.
He was hoping to be, I think, a CNN darling.
Well, you know, he didn't.
No, but that
didn't
work.
So we're all happy, right? We were happy that we didn't have to deal with Ken Buck. And he'd been a chair of the Republican Party. He'd been brought in by the establishment to prevent, God, who did he prevent getting elected?
Susan Beckman.
Susan Beckman.
Right. Well, yeah, he.
And they cheated and they got him in, but
So relatively, all things considered, benign period. Yeah, I mean, he
but
did.
all of a sudden, and now he's back.
That's right. So Ken,
I mean, there's nobody who believes in Ken Buck, right? I
we
mean,
didn't know what
the
happened to him.
Democrats don't like him. The staff, nobody likes him.
Somebody likes him. So I saw this morning on his X account, Ken Buck has a new project. We'll just let him explain it. So Thomas, if we could please play the Ken Buck video.
You know, Ronald Reagan said that socialism has only worked in two places. One is heaven, where they don't need it, and the other is hell, where they already have it. Hi, this is Ken Buck. I want to visit about socialism and why it's trending, and not in a good way. We have a bunch of lefty politicians out there who are trying to convince people that socialism has all the virtues. It's great. 67% of college kids have bought in and consider themselves pro-socialist. Only 40% identify as pro-capitalist. I have 100% statistic for you. Everywhere it's been tried, it's failed 100% of the time. It takes away the three things that we care about most: freedom, freedom, and freedom. So we're starting a group that will put out the truth about socialism. We will have a website where you can go and see articles every day that talk about the failures in Venezuela, Cuba, all over the world. Folks, I need help. We need to get the word out. We need to make sure our country stays free. Stay tuned for more information in a little while. Thanks.
Now, okay.
I expect him to say, and I have a hold of Mrs. Guthrie,
Yeah.
and I won't release her unless you have it.
I
I mean, what's the outfit? What is the outfit? I mean, that strange
he's got a sweatshirt
hoodie.
apparently in his backyard. Now, clearly, it was done with some production value. He appears to be reading a teleprompter, right? He's not, somebody else is shooting it. That's a lengthy, I'm sure you can see when you look at it, he
He looks
appears to
like
be.
shit.
Well, he looks okay. I
No, he
mean,
doesn't. He looks
casual.
old and tired and
We don't
worn
even,
out.
it's clearly a prof well, professionally, it's not that hard to
No,
professionally pull
that wouldn't
somebody
be
apart.
called professionally
No, but I
done.
mean, though, it was edited, there was stuff
It
in
was
it.
edited. Okay,
He had a
yeah.
teleprompter. But I guess here's the thing. It's like there already aren't groups like the Republican Party out there to tell us that socialism is bad. I mean, you've got the Heritage Foundation, you've got the Claremont Institute. It's not like there aren't plenty of organizations out there. And it's not like, I
And
don't
they
know.
can.
It's not like you're going to all of a sudden have some progressive young anti-ICE agitator go, "Oh my God, did you see
Ken
Ken
Buck?
Buck's
Oh
website?
my God.
Socialism is bad."
And
Really?
they even got articles on.
Who knew?
So
I mean,
you can read an article every
that's
day
great. We
that
all need
socialism sucks.
projects, but my guess is the next thing that will come is we're going to all be hit up for money because
Oh, you think so?
groups like this need money. Now, it's a good idea, but again, it's
Not
kind of
really.
like.
I mean, if you wanted to say, I want to read articles about the ills of socialism, just put that down in your
ChatGPT.
chat GPT
Well,
and hit the button,
maybe that's what's
and you can
Ken
go
doing.
and, yeah, and that's what Ken's doing.
I
And you could read for days and why
So
socialism
Ken
didn't
needs
work.
that much, so he doesn't really need any money, huh? I mean, it's just kind of that. Just I guess good for him. Like I said, everybody needs
Not
a
good for him.
hobby. It's
He should
like,
leave us alone. Go away. We didn't like you when you left, and we don't like you any better.
but let's see. Okay, so from Jacob, Buck became a royal mess like Prince Andrew. That's right. And then Thomas has now compared that video to the video posted by the new British party, Restore Britain Party. We haven't seen that, Thomas, so we'll have to see. It's like, and then Jacob, I heard something interesting today. London is two-thirds Muslim, and Britain is a nuclear. Oh, and Britain is a nuclear country.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, that kind of goes into something else you want. So that's enough for Ken Buckwheat. I just thought that was
There's
weird.
never enough too much, but he's
Yeah.
back and he's there and it's exciting and he can join. I mean, it's so great that he's going to return
Don't know who
as
we is, though.
we.
Yeah, he says
It's
we are starting. Is it the royal we?
no, it's the Guthrie kidnappers and him
No.
who give him some money and they'll release everybody.
Yeah.
Who knows who we is? But he did in the backyard, and it's never, when you're tilting up, that's not a good angle to it, frankly. I mean, it's not professionally done, and it's, you know, he could have put, I don't know, a shirt on or something. With he didn't need to do the hoodie. I mean, I don't know. It's pathetic. It's sad. I think we ought to find out where he's at, and and intern him someplace where he can be
Get him
taken
some help.
care of.
Well, I don't know, or maybe he needs a different hobby. That just struck me as kind of odd. Like I said, it's like
Sure.
he's starting this new group. Yeah, he says it's from Jacob. Buck should have spent a couple of bucks on the video. Yeah, you know, again, having done professional TV, you don't want to, number one, if there's anything in the background that's distracting people, and your appearance, right? Your appearance in the background should not be distracting because you want people focusing on what you're saying. So if in the whole time you're talking, you have people going, what's he wearing, right? That's not good. And if you have the whole time people are going, what's that? Is his house? Where is he? Again, they're not listening to what you're saying. So that would just be my advice, Ken. Next time, do it somewhere where people aren't wondering what else is going on. So, but fortunately, he's going to tell us about socialism being bad. I don't know.
I mean, that's not a big goal, really. I mean, you're not going to convince people who think socialism is good that it's bad, and you don't have to convince the people that already think it's bad that it's bad. So maybe there's some people on the fence going, I kind of like socialism. You know, like what Cuba's doing. Yeah, they're in trouble now. But
it's the young
North
people.
Korea is a vacation spot I'd like to visit. Yeah.
It's like, you know, young people. I mean, young people are the ones who think, for the most part, that socialism is good.
Yeah,
and they don't go to websites, right? They don't. I mean, if you ask,
we're not going to be, you know, oh my God, did you see that guy?
You just get a TikTok
Whoa,
channel.
Holy.
Yeah. So anyway, good luck with that. Good luck with that.
No, not good luck with that.
But speaking of the internationalist stuff, you wanted to talk about Marco Rubio, the what is it, the Trump
Munich,
doctrine?
The Munich Safety Conference that they have every year that brings all the European nations and the United States together, kind of Atlantis type one. And last year, J.D. Vance gave a speech that was not that well received, but he really let him have it, especially on the questions of free speech and other ones. So this time Marco Rubio came, and it's really an indication that the old saying that it matters more how you say something than what you say. He had a very friendly, avuncular, outreaching sort of one in description. But his message, one Belgian diplomat called the most ethno-nationalist imperialist speech you'd ever heard, and it was. I mean, honestly, it's contrary to everything that's been said in this country anyway since the mid 1960s, at least since the mid 1960s, and the Immigration Act of 1965. He basically went saying, "United States is a child of Europe. We came here with Christian values. We came here with bringing European civilization with us." With views on democracy that it brought to us by the English. And, you know, we had New Amsterdam, which is the Dutch, that we are amalgam. And he pointed out his own lineage and a couple parents of great, 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 great grandparents that lived in Italy and Spain. But he really emphasized three particular areas. One, immigration. He said, you're getting overwhelmed by immigration. That'll be civilization.
To Jacob's point.
Erasure. And that it's going to destroy you. Two, trade. He says, you cannot have free trade when the other side is not a free trader. You can't be the only free trader or you're going to get clipped, and which is what really would happen with China. China,
right.
You're free trade? Great. We're not so much. Great. Thanks. Well, you want to hollow out your entire country. Oh, good. Good. That'd be great. You want to take us, do all the manufacturing? And then he also said, you know, you cannot depend on a third country for, you know, key parts of your supply chain. Like, oh, yeah, supply chain. Come on. Come on in. Just let us have everything. I mean, it was beautifully articulated. And so it was trade, immigration. Now I've got to think of the third thing, trade, immigration.
Well, Trump has been pushing this, right? And to Jacob's point, you know, about it becoming Muslim, it's one thing to have immigration where people assimilate. It's another thing to have immigration where they don't assimilate and their goal is to take you over. I mean, those are bad. That's a bad mix.
Well, but moreover, this speech could have been given in support of the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882. Saying, look, we're a Christian country, we're a Western one, we believe in Western values, we can't just become Chinese. They have their own views on many subjects, but they're not Christian. They're ones that are coming here. And we're not otherwise. I mean, we are a Christian European nation, and we need to be proud of our civilization. They say we want partners who are not just managing their own decline. This is a shocking speech. In any other context, other than such a dozen, he's not even considered racist and anti-Semitic because he doesn't say Judeo-Christian ones. He just says Christian.
Well, it
It's
also.
just a shocking speech that he's saying. You just everything that Europe and he gave a good example or starting how it's 1945. That's when West began to retreat from the world. In 92, when the Russia fell apart, we all thought that wow. At least Francis Fukuyama talked about the end of history, how everything is going to become a liberal democracy, and that we ought to have open borders because everybody would be a citizen of the world. We ought to have free trade all across the world. And culture, Christianity, European enlightenment, all that doesn't matter. And the idea is, if you come here, no matter where you're from, you automatically adopt American values. Not ex Somalia up in Minnesota, not so much,
Well,
not so much. And it's a shocking speech. Honestly, it was a shocking
it's
speech,
kind of a.
and it drew great laudatory ones for it. I mean, it'd be very much a one. No, we shouldn't allow Muslim immigration in the United States. I don't share any of those values or any of our background.
Well, it is a continuation of Trump's sort of, globalism has failed thing, right? I mean, that's the reason that Europe is going the way it is the elite powers that be, the globalists, right? They wanted a world economy that worked for them and that didn't really care what it did to everybody else, right? And so and Trump has turned that all around, and this is so it's to me it reads sort of like a, like you said, it's shocking on the one hand, but it's a continuation of what Trump's been saying all along.
Well, but even he hasn't articulated in this bold a one. I mean, Marco Rubio, I remember him back in 2010. Oh, this guy'll be great. And a Tea Party guy, he's great on immigration. And then he got in and he got, swept up by the rhinos. He became pro-immigration reform. He got on the Senate Security Agreement, Security Committee, and became one that approved the one saying Russia tried to hack our election. But I've never heard a speech like that. I mean, I would compare it, if you could, to the Rivers of Blood speech that Enoch Powell gave in England. Back in the late 1960s, without all the drama and everything else. And he got a standing ovation from people, I would assume 90% of them totally disagreed with him. I mean, it's
They just don't
shocking.
want any more tariffs. It was like
Yeah, no more tariffs,
clap for him and clap for him. There won't be any tariffs. Oh, like I said, I mean this is what Trump has been. Trump is like, look,
Well,
we're gonna.
this is more articulated than anything
I
Trump
understand, but
has
it's the
ever
same.
said.
It's the same. It's the same. I mean, it's this is what Trump has been pushing, right? Globalism has failed. These globalist ideas and the idea
Ah,
of.
the third one has come to me. It has come to me.
Yeah.
Climate change.
Oh.
He said, this climate change thing is insane. When you have your persons who are supplying you whatever green products you want are going totally to coal, oil,
China.
everything else,
Well,
and you're bankrupting yourselves. You're totally bankrupting yourselves for a
what's happening
fetish about a theory that is not proven. And in fact, nothing Europe does compares to the enormous amount of pollution poured in by, if you consider pollution, carbohydrates up into the air by China and
Well,
India.
if they really cared, they wouldn't allow you to buy carbon offsets or whatever they call it, right? It's kind of like if they
Well, but
really.
they've beggared, and he says that you've beggared your own countries, and your greatest economic rival, if you want to call it, believes in none of those.
Right.
None of
Well,
those.
and it's,
What it's just kind of you're destroying yourselves. And we're not going to,
do it
we're not
anymore.
going to manage our decline and destroy ourselves.
Except for here in Colorado. Here in Colorado, we're going to
we're
be.
going to have free prostitution.
Right, yeah, free prostitution or illegal prostitution.
Free love of
Yeah, but
prostitution.
you cannot have a car. You know,
No
you
good.
can't have a car and you can't have natural gas.
You can have honey though for an hour anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at, you have to keep a bunch of things in mind here. The climate NGO, the green NGO thing is, it's a machine and it's a vicious machine, and it funds newspapers, reporters' jobs,
Oh,
things like
we've
that.
gotten saying, please apply for the Chronicle. Please apply to a grant
Right.
to do
Climate stories.
climate change
So what's the
stories.
big story? This is in the Denver Post. It's like and I was glad to see some of the ski resorts decline. So they're doing a big thing. Okay, so it's been a dry winter, right? And so, I mean, but it is only February 15th, right? And who knows? So granted,
That's the end of their season,
if
really.
on the other hand, but it's been a boon for the golf courses. So I mean, but the Denver
Well,
Post had a giant article about climate change. How are ski resorts going to adjust with climate change? So in the overall history of Colorado, this has been one season, right? That sucked. And most of the ski resorts refused to comment. And then another one was like, we're going to do everything we can to offset our carbon stuff by like recycling better.
yeah,
And
that'll
those
do
people do it.
it.
So now
That'll do
we're going to get way more snow. And it's, oh, this is what I always want to
We're going
say.
to do snow dances. I mean,
Right.
traditionally, it used to be rain dances.
No, they're not
We're
going to be that
bringing
sort of.
back the Chippewas and
No,
the
not even going to be that.
Arapahoes, and we're going to have some rain
As
dances.
long as they don't have any kind of, as long as they don't drive there, they can come. They're going to have to, I guess, walk in.
Maybe a
It's
horse.
just ludicrous, right? To think that number, I mean, it's kind of like, but it's typical Colorado, right? And because here's the thing I would say. Number one, keep in mind that that article was probably written, almost certainly written by a reporter whose salary in part is paid by the green energy or the green NGOs, the Green New Scam NGOs are paying that reporter's salary. So if that reporter were to do a story saying, actually, it'll probably be better next year, nature has a way of evening out, blah, 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 and whatever it is, we certainly can't directly connect the fact that they've had a bad snow year to automobiles in Denver, right? We can't directly connect that. Then they wouldn't have their job. But I mean, that becomes a thing. It's like there was a time when we were like an inland sea, right? And
Right.
it's like, okay, well, that's climate change. Talk about climate change. That would have been really
Well, that's
bad
when the
for the ski resorts, right? I mean,
tectonic plates move along.
well, but I mean, that causes climate change. All I'm
Okay.
saying is,
Yeah,
it's like you say, there's nothing that says this year's low snowfall so far, right?
was co
Which
caused by Denver
is to.
brown cloud.
Right, it was caused by the Denver brown cloud. Keep in mind, I mean, it's moisture over a period of time. Now, granted, if you're a ski resort, but I don't think Mother Nature is like, oh, we better hurry up and snow because those ski resorts.
What about
So you
Vail? What
can't go.
about Vail, everybody?
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's like China is one of the worst polluters. So if Vail decides that they're going to start doing extra super duper recycling, it's not going to be directly cause more snow in Vail this year or next year even. And it's
Maybe they
ludicrous.
sacrifice some animals
It's
or something,
ludicrous to
or
even go.
children, something.
It's ludicrous to even go there. And the good news is, as energy prices go up in Colorado, because we're funding, okay, all of these, the solar energy, the wind energy, none of which work in Colorado. And then
Well, there's
Xcel
a
turn,
little
well, a
bit.
little bit, but they don't exist. They don't even have the infrastructure grid in place to get it to us, right? But we're putting Xcel, because Jared Polis told him to build a bunch of stuff out. Xcel is like, well, can we just pass it on to the consumer? And they're like, oh, sure. So they did. They're like, cool, we'll build it. Yeah, you want us to get rid of our coal plants? I mean, we will, but then we're going to have to pass that on to the consumer too. And the Democrats are like, okay, but
Okay.
prostitution's legal. So,
You can be warm.
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ludicrous. And the papers keep hammering it home. And the good news is, like, no one believes it
And
anymore.
nobody reads it.
No, and nobody reads it anymore. But I just thought that was just a ridiculous thing. And it is falling apart as energy prices get better. And I think if Europe is stupid enough to say, okay, all of you billionaires can fly here in your private plane, but I'm going to be paying, I'm not going to be able to have cheap energy to heat my home in the winter. And what we do, we're going to be totally dependent on foreign adversaries for our energy supplies. But by God, maybe they'll get more snow in Vail this spring. I don't know,
Hard to say. Hard, I mean, it's just amazing stuff. But I think, I don't think you put the genie back in the bottle. I don't think after Marco Rubio said something that literally would have gotten him just blasted 10 years ago. 10 years ago, he said that, and it would have, you would have been Enoch Powell on the Rivers of Blood analogy. But places like Sweden, who just said, "Yeah, come on, we love you more." Oh, we're gonna be killings, shootings, dying. We have game war. Never mind. No more people. No more people from the Middle East, and we'll pay you huge amounts of money. Go home. Just leave us alone. Go anywhere else you want to. Go to New Jersey if you like to. Go anywhere, but we'll pay you. And by the way, they've got a new citizenship law saying, you know, if you want to be a citizen, oh, okay. Well, one, you have to be for 10 years and you have to be able to speak Swedish. And they're going, speak Swedish? What, you think we're in Sweden or something? No, no, we're not going to speak Swedish. We never were going to speak Swedish. And so it's an amazing one. But what amazes me more than the incredible beauty of the speech, you know what it is, how it's been warmly accepted by people who believe in everything, have acted exactly contrary to what he's saying for the last 60 years.
Maybe they're just glad to have somebody saying it out loud so they don't have to keep doing it.
The emperor doesn't have any clothes.
That's right. No, we knew this. Oh, we were afraid to say it. Well, that's going to be, I'm going, another thing I wanted to talk about a little bit, and I don't have, you know, Bannon and Epstein, that's in the news now, right? The release of the Epstein files, which again, as I've said, is kind of, you know, boomeranging and hitting a lot more elites and Democrat supporters than it is Republicans, hit Steve Bannon. Apparently Bannon, all these troves of emails came out and texts came out with Steve Bannon. I think it was basically, a lot of it started in 2018. I mean, after Bannon left the Trump White House, right?
Right.
It seems like they didn't have a ton of communication then, but they were texting back and forth and they seemed to be pretty good buddies. Now Bannon today came out with a statement and said, all of that was just me trying to talk to him and I'm being friendly with him because I want to do this documentary, even though it's been 100 years in the making and I haven't ever made it. But the Conservative Treehouse had an interesting thing there saying that what he was surprised at was essentially sort of the duplicity of Bannon, you know, saying that Bannon is sort of openly talking to Epstein, trashing Trump, talking about stuff that probably, you know, Epstein wants to get rid of Trump, right? Epstein hates Trump. Epstein wants, you know, Trump ousted. And Bannon's kind of talking to him. I don't really want to say inside information, but he's certainly being very friendly to Epstein, right? And
well, you know, as I said, maybe it's been a week now, maybe longer, 2 weeks. They had part of the tranche they let out was a 1 hour and 57 minutes interview by Steve Bannon of Jeffrey Epstein. For his documentary. And so I figured, well, I'll listen to the first couple minutes of it. And an hour and 57 minutes later, I went, wow, that's the most incredible documentary, or at least interview I've ever seen. And at the end of it, you hate Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon's just pompous. Well, you go, well, then it's due to derivatives. No, it's not due to derivatives, moron.
Oh, they're talking about finances or something?
Well, they're talking about the crash of 2007, 2008, and he has a very pithy and great analysis of it. You like Jeffrey Epstein, or at least you respect. You may not like, but you respect Jeffrey Epstein's kind of brain and ability to take very complicated matters and reduce them down to very simple, straightforward subjects. And you hate Bannon because it's just a blowhard.
Here's my thing on that.
Oh. But at any rate, you know, what's the relation to him? It's one guy who wants lots of money because Epstein has, you know.
Bannon wants access to the money that Epstein
gave
him.
Well, he makes hundreds of millions of dollars. He's giving $10 million is a throwaway.
Yeah, but there was some suggestion apparently in the emails that Epstein was helping Steve Bannon fund the war room when he started it. Yeah, well, here's my thing though. I mean, I'm not totally shocked when Bannon.
Well, I don't know if Thomas, you're there.
What? No.
No.
No. No. He doesn't have time to pull anything. Okay, go ahead. What?
Did you listen to the rest of the Bannon Epstein tape? And we'll get a response. I did. And what's a pithy way of saying what you thought? Here it comes. It's coming.
Okay.
He's thinking.
Depending on when you
He's
think it.
thinking.
Well,
Well, when you get it, let it off. Let everybody
yeah,
know.
so we don't just sit here putting poor Thomas on the spot. The thing is, Bannon, I think all along the problem that Bannon and Trump had is Bannon forgot that Trump was president and that he was not. And I think that even, I mean, going way back to 2016, right? I mean, he left the White House pretty fast and all along made kind of anti-Trump comments and, Trump wasn't as smart and stuff like that. And you could see, I mean, Steve Bannon, I think to this day, clearly thinks highly of himself, more highly of
Well,
himself.
listen to this hour and 57 minutes. You'll just see how much Bannon thinks of
Yeah,
himself.
and so, I mean, whatever, Steve Bannon is Steve Bannon. I mean, they're seeing, a lot of people are being critical, we should never listen to Steve Bannon again, or, oh, we should listen to Steve Bannon. And I guess I'm like, I'm not surprised that Bannon kind of comes across as kind of an arrogant kind of jerk in his conversations with Epstein. Now, do I, and I'm not surprised, I don't for a second believe that all of that was because he's trying to ingratiate himself so that Bannon, so that he can, move forward with his documentary, which 6 years later he's never done. Let me
One wanted money and one wanted access.
Right.
And each had one of those in rather large degrees. And it's hardly,
but it's coming. It's kind of going
a million times every day in this world. That goes
but it's going on after the 2008.
Oh, everybody says that. Nobody cared about his 2008 conviction, 2010.
Well, no, let me finish. A lot of people did. And a lot of people cut off contact with him after that. I mean, a lot of the emails that have come out were before that. And Bannon, so keep in mind, this is going on in 2019. This is even after the new stuff had come out, right? I mean, Bannon is still communicating with him as Epstein is getting ready to go to prison or to go to jail, right? So it's kind of like, we clearly know what Bannon was concerned about. Bannon was concerned about Bannon. And if somebody could help Bannon, didn't really matter what else. And then Thomas says, I don't really know any cool terms, but I thought Bannon came across as a weasel. And he is. He's a clever weasel. He's a,
I used to kind of
well-spoken.
admire Bannon back in the days of 2016, he got elected, and he provided a lot of the gravitas to what Trump was saying, and I thought he was the brains behind the throne, and then it became just a big bombastic
kind of a blowhard.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a blowhard there. So that's all there. Well, what about anything else? I mean, I have to go get Rev here, as he's texting me pretty quick. Anything else you wanted to talk about? Or
yeah, all right, everybody. What does everybody think of Meghan Markle?
Oh, but you do that then. I'm going to go, Ken.
No, you can't go. She's always bailing out every time you have an interesting subject. She's bailing out.
Uh-huh.
All right. What does everybody think of Meghan Markle? Markle. And I think she's done an extraordinary job of bringing everyone together. I mean, she has brought everyone together, whether it's the late night hosts of Stephen Colbert, whether it's Republican influencers like Megyn Kelly, whether it's South Park. And comedic cartoon ones all across the world. Everybody hates her. I mean, it's not easy to get everybody to hate you. I mean, just almost everybody. She was at the NBA All-Star with Queen Latifah, and I guess Queen Latifah doesn't hate her. But generally speaking, if you look up Meghan Markle, she's just universally loathed. Now, Harry, everybody thinks is just a wimp. They just think, he's just a cuck, wimp, and some of the cartoons are hilarious, where she's threatening him to put that dog collar back on him, electric dog collar, if he doesn't shut up. It is just amazing that you can get that many people to hate you that much. And she had a cooking show, even though she doesn't have any and never has know how to cook. And so what they make is a fruit bowl and some other things. She had one that everybody's laughing about, in which you take British chips and you take them out of the bag and you put it in a clear container and then you put wrap it, and then that's something new. Okay, there you go. There you go, everybody. And it's no longer in its original bag, it's in a clear bag, and you're gonna do great. You're just gonna do great. And she's tried as hard as she can now for what is it, 10 years and pathetic Harry is off in the London courtroom, in which he's just crying. And it's going to be a 9-week trial, which is unbelievable. The British really overdo trials in front of a single judge. single judge. He's suing the Daily Mail and its parent company, saying that they found things out about him and his prior girlfriend, was in Chelsea Davies, and they couldn't have done it lawfully. They must have done it unlawfully. And the Daily Mail, sort of not too convincing. Oh, no, we just asked his friends and stuff. That's how we, it's just good old fashioned regular journalism. But he's crying and he's just a wuss, just a wuss. And he ruined, they ruined the life of poor Meghan Markle. In the meantime, you know, she cut off her father, her, you know, she said, I never had any siblings. And his half brother and sister say, what were we doing in all these pictures? You see, here we are, and there's Meghan. No. They don't count. They're only halves anyway. Just amazing stuff for somebody who can. And so one of the people who really loathes her and has loathed himself is Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan extraordinarily, the night that Meghan Markle met at a party of Prince Harry, earlier in the day, she'd gone to this bar, nice little neighborhood bar, with none other than Piers Morgan, who was, I don't know, 30 years her senior or something. I guess not that much, 20 years. And they had a great time, and then he put her in a cab, and she said, oh, loser, and never talked to him again. And so he became just blubberingly angry at her, and it got him thrown off of Good Morning America. He was always tacking her, and everybody was going, well, this is gross. But anyway, so they put out somebody over in this brilliant royal court of Sussex, put out all the financials, and this is a good move by somebody, of the Sussex, showing they made $200 million in the last 5 years with Spotify, Netflix, Harry's book, some other $200 million, except over the last year they spent 184. So they're down to the last 15 or 20 million bucks, and they're scratching because Netflix canceled, Spotify canceled, everybody else has canceled. Purportedly, there have been talking to some bankruptcy lawyers, but it's hard to know what you know. It's just amazing how they just squandered and went through. You know, it's like these football stars who go through $100 million in a couple of years. Going, wow, that's impressive. How you can just squander that much money? She went on one trip to Paris in an afternoon, spent $894,000 in one afternoon of buying, you know, haute couture dresses and accoutrements. And that was a kind of a quick, you know, quick meal. Oh, that was a good shopping ship. Great. You know, we're so happy. And now what is she going to do? What are they going to do? I mean, poor Harry is, you know, shoved off his Invictus games, but she's got to find something new. She came out with a whole line, a collection of things kind of coming off her show. So you could buy her jams. She had, I don't know why she thought everybody wanted her jams, but they do. You know they do. And candle, which has the scent of her Montecito enclave, you know, with all kinds of wonderful word salads included with it. And some linkster bought them, and then on his podcast kind of delved into them and said the marmalade, he was throwing up when he tasted the marmalade, and he opened the candle up. It didn't even have a wick. So it was, you know, a worthless candle without a wick. And then the guy wrote to them because you couldn't get them on the website, eventually emailed them, and just can't get a refund for a $64 candle. But it's amazing that a human being could be some universally hated all at once by everyone from, and how would that be? I mean, having everybody hate you when you, in fact, you think you're so special, you think you have a special place in the world, and you think that everybody. Now, is there anybody out there who likes Meghan Markle? You can come on the chat or otherwise, but does anybody like Meghan Markle? Come on. It's one of those, you know, Secret sins. You like Meghan Merkel? Yeah. Whoa, oh my God, they're all coming in. Thomas, I didn't know you loved Meghan Merkel that much. Oh my God, she's your heroine of life. Jacob? Oh, Jacob loves her. Oh my God, Jacob, I didn't know that. I didn't know that you loved her too. All right. Well, on that happy note, little Meghan Markle, we'll keep. Oh, one other thing. News alert, news alert. If you listen to Peter Boyle's show on Saturday, he was trashing the trumpet of kind of conservative ones from Scott Bottoms to Victor Marx to Gunnar Jo Oldens. And then trashing them all. Then Joe came on the air, amazingly. And they kind of had it out a little, but he invited him back for two Saturdays from now. They're not this Saturday, but the following Saturday for a debate royale. And I think everybody wants me to see that. I mean, I can't wait. I mean, I know Peter's going to come loaded with bear. And Joe Melman is kind of crazy, right? But he's no dummy. I promise you, he is no dummy. He's had his own podcast and other things. And so it will be a really fun fight between the two. I mean, it's really going to be interesting to see those debate on election, whether the 2020 election was actually stolen. Peter absolutely doesn't believe it. And Joe Oldman has spent 4 years trying to prove it does matter. I guess maybe we'll have some guests. There's mystery guests and everything else. But I mean, this would be unbelievable. Last time Joe Oldman came on 710 KNUS, which is on the Randy Corcoran show, they got sued and they ended up settling for $1.5 million or some money, amount of money that's really kind of de minimis in those kind of lawsuits. But it's going to be incredible. So save your time. Saturday, Peter Boyle's show, where he takes on and debates Joe Oldman. It will be something else. All right, everybody. Thanks for coming on. Happy Washington's birthday. I refuse to call it President's Day. George Washington deserves his own day. And once they, you know, you may, oh, it could be Jimmy Carter too. No, it's George Washington's birthday, and we wish you all the best. Take care.